Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Bible Study. This is Brother Miles. Hope everything is well with you. I'm glad that you decided to be with us today. And we've got some ground to cover this morning, and we're going to be in Genesis chapter 7. We're going to begin in verse 10. And, of course, we're talking about the flood and all that entails. So let's get started. Before we do, let's have prayer, and then we'll have what God has for us today, okay? Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for all the listeners, all those people who are attending this morning. Pray your blessings upon them. Pray you'd open our hearts and minds, and you would illuminate our thoughts and guide us and help us to understand, Lord, because we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, now we've been talking about the flood, and this is a picture of salvation. It's the ark is a type of Christ. And Noah, you know, preaches the gospel. He warns people. And yet, the only people that went in was Noah, his sons, his daughter-in-laws, daughters-in-law, and his wife. And, you know, that's really typical of today because the invitation is given every Sunday morning all across America. In foreign lands, the preachers are preaching and the invitation is given. And yet, there's still folks, still people who refuse to come. Who refuse to get inside of Christ, where it's safe and where the judgment can't get to them, where all their sins will be forgiven. And, you know, the opportunity was there for all these people, for everyone, not just Noah and his family, but the opportunity for repentance and to turn from sin was there. And let's begin reading in chapter 7, verse 10. And I'm going to read through verse 7 to verse 17. And then we'll make some observations. I got some statistics to give you. They're all right here, but I'm going to give them to you in order, and they'll, you know, maybe be easy to understand. Okay? Hope you're learning. Hope that you're interested and that you're compelled to listen, not because of me, but because of the material. And so look at your Bible, chapter 7, verse 10. And it came to pass after 7 days. Now, see, God said right over here in verse 4, yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. So it got down to where it was 7 days. It started off with over here in chapter 6, verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for yet he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So that was the length of time that the people had. They listened to Noah. People were asking him, what are you doing? They were taken back by the thought of a worldwide flood. It wasn't just a flood, a local flood. It was worldwide. It covered the mountains, the whole earth. And they did not take Noah serious. We'll see in just a minute. It's right here in our text. They didn't take Noah serious. And I can kind of picture in my mind Noah just trusting God. It was more than a man-sized task. God gave him the talent. God gave him the ability. He was an artisan in respect to construct this massive ship. How big it was and the intricacies that were involved to take care of all the animals and everything that God had commanded. So it was more than just nailing some boards together or pegging some boards together. Wood had to be gotten. It had to be shaped and formed. Noah had never done anything like this, and so God gave them the ability. Noah trusted God, and so God gave Noah the ability to perform the task. And that's the way it always is. When God calls you to do something, He will equip you to do what He's called you to do. He won't call you to do something just like witnessing to people, sharing your faith. That scares people to death. They're afraid they're going to be asked a question in the Bible that they can't understand. And really, most of the time, to be honest with you, the reason the fear is there is because there's a lack of knowledge. When we know how, when we study the scripture, we know how to present the gospel, and we know how our life has changed and what God has done in our life, then, you know, the Spirit of God will take that and use it. And he will put people in our path to witness to. It will give us occasion and opportunity to witness to people. Not everybody will come, but he will give us an opportunity. He will use us if we equip ourselves. And so Noah, he did everything that God commanded him to do. And so it came to pass, verse 10, after 7 days, that the waters of the flood were upon the earth, just like God had said. Just like God had said. Now, until this time, people were watching, people were observing, people were asking questions. Noah was explaining that God was going to judge the earth because of the wickedness, and the flood was going to come, and it was going to destroy everything, and except these animals that were to be taken on the ark, and so there was people there with children, people there with babies. It says that they were married, and as in were in the days of Noah, they were marrying and given in marriage. Life was going on. In a circuitous manner, people were being born, people were growing up, people were, you know, just life. And then this comes into the picture. See, God steps in. He will always step in to judge sin. He will always step in to judge sin. And man had gotten totally out of control. And so here's Noah building this ark. And then he said it'll be 120 days. And so they've had all this opportunity. And there's going to come a time when opportunity runs out. There's going to come a time when God's, he says, I will not always strive with man, yet his days shall be 120 years. God's not always going to be there on a Sunday morning during that invitation. God's not always going to wake up somebody in the middle of the night because somebody has witnessed to them. The Spirit of God is moving them and yearning for them and drawing them. Opportunity at some point will stop. I remember one time in a church, this man came to revival. His wife had prayed for him, and we got him to commit to come to revival, week-long revival from Sunday night to the following Friday night. And the first couple of nights, he stood there, and the invitation was given, and he cried, and he clutched a pew. I mean, he cried, and you know, and I didn't go to the man. He had to come on his own. You know, and that went on about midweek, the crying had stopped. Along about Thursday, he was standing there, no tears whatsoever. Friday, at the end of the revival, he was standing, during the invitation, he was standing with his arms crossed across his chest in a rather defiant look, if you please. And as far as I know, to best of my ability, that man has never come to Christ. And you know what? I'm not saying his opportunity ran out, but I'm saying he said no enough to, if you say no enough, you'll convince God. If you say no enough, these people said no. They said no enough. And after it came 7 days that the waters waters of the flood were upon the earth, it started to rain. The fountains exploded from beneath the ground, and the canopy that covered the earth, it never rained before. It broke up in the heavens. Started pouring rain in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. See, the earth was watered by there was a canopy that watered the earth, and it never rained, and so this canopy gave way. The fountains of the deep, rivers that was flowing underneath the crust of the earth, evidently broke up, and water started boiling up out of the ground, and it started raining. Rain started, water started falling from the sky. Can you imagine Noah as the last of the animals started to go in, and Noah and his family were standing there in that door, and there was people outside laughing and carrying on and still not believing, still making fun, still jeering at Noah, and you know it's hard to wrap your mind around an opportunity, somebody wasting an opportunity such as that. All right, and it says, and the rain was upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, solid. Solid's not there, but that's what that means. It means that for 40 days and 40 nights it continued to rain. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. And no, I wonder, I can see Noah. Noah had to be a compassionate man. I have that feel about him. He had to be compassionate, and you know, that's the mark of a person who's obedient. They have compassion. They love God, and Noah's pleading with these people. He's pleading with people. You know, preachers stand in the front of the church there at the altar, and they plead with people to come to Christ, and people that they know is lost, and you know, and people won't, sometimes they just won't move, and it's heartbreaking. And I imagine what Noah felt like, and as the rain started to come, they and every beast of his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, every fowl after his kind, and every bird of every sort. So all this noise, all these animals proceeding up this gangplank, if you will, into the ark, and people were seeing this spectacle, and still not. They seeing these animals come on their own. See, it says over there that God shall, they shall come unto thee. And they see, seeing these animals come on their own and still not making a move. Standing there watching all these, all sorts of animals come from through the woods and out of the jungle and marching and carrying on right on up, birds flying into the ark, things creeping into the ark. Noah standing back out of the way, and evidently his sons inside were guiding animals to different places, distributing weight, big animals and such, and small animals, caged animals, and already had loaded food and already had loaded water, came down to the very end. Everything had been accomplished. But it says in verse 10, and it came to pass. It's going to come to pass one day. God, what God says in his word is true, and it will come to pass. Just like the rapture of the church. We're closer to that than we've ever been, of course. And the signs of the times are greater than they've ever been, in my opinion. And the things that are happening, the unrest, the wars, the rumors of war. And God is steadily giving people opportunity. God is steady reaching out to people. And it's just one day it's going to stop. One day it's going to stop. God's cup of wrath, his patience, his long suffering, his striving with man is going to be over with. And it said that all these animals came into the ark. And then, verse 15, and they went in unto Noah into the ark. You know, this is it's repetitious. What you see, what you read here is like the same thing over and over. And it's to be explicit. It's to make a point. We do that same thing when we try to get a point across. We repeat ourselves over and over and over. And so what God wants us to see is that this thing is unfolding just exactly like he commanded it to, because he had a certain, and if it hadn't, if Noah had refused, there'd have been another Noah. If Moses had refused, God would have used another Moses. I don't have a monopoly on God. If God gives me an opportunity and I refuse, God will move somewhere else. I'm not going to stop God's plan. I'm not going to stop God's plan. Neither are you or anybody else. But God had an obedient, willing servant. And God developed his plan and revealed it. And the outworking of his plan came to fruition because of obedient Noah. And Noah was a leader in his family. Look at your Bible. It says, and they went in unto Noah into the ark, and two, and of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of flesh, as God has commanded him. Now look at this right here, verse 16. I want you to notice this. This is the end right here. This is the end right here. This is when it stops. This is when God said it's enough. This is when God says no. And this is also when the people on the outside of the ark, in my opinion, say yes. Look what it says in verse 16. It says, and they went in, and they that went in male and female. I've already mentioned that several times about the male and female thing. You've got that right. You understand this over and over and over. It's the law of repetition. And God's plan of procreation is male and female. That's the way that's always been. That's the way it always will be. You can't improve on it. Can't get around it. That's what it is. And it's not only his plan of procreation, but it's his plan of life. It's his plan of life and for life. And so all and it says, and they that went in male and female of flesh as God had commanded him. Look at this, and the Lord shut him in. You know, that's kind of it's great for knowing his family, but that's a scary thought. Because it pictures an ending. It's a stop sign. Opportunity is over, it's gone. They can't get in. It says God shut the door. The Lord shut him in. Now see, let me rephrase that. It didn't say that God shut the door. It's implied. But the actual thought is God shut him in. God protected him and his family. God rewarded his obedience. God protected him. Now see, when a person comes to Christ and they're in Jesus, God shuts him in. He shuts him in grace. He shuts him in righteousness. He shuts him in justification and sanctification. God seals him. He is sealed by the Holy Spirit. He is baptized by the Holy Spirit into Jesus, and that baptism means he's totally engulfed, and he's there, and he's there in that position. He can never lose that position, because once he's in that position, a relationship is begun, and this relationship is brought on by God adopts us through the blood of his son Jesus. Now, see, it's a blood adoption. It's not just a paper covenant. It's a blood covenant. And that blood seals us into Christ, and we can never be separated. See, I'm a Phillips. My daddy's name was Everett. And if I were to change my name to Jones, I would be Miles Jones. I don't quite sound right, but I would be Miles Jones. Nothing against the Joneses. But I've been a Phillips for so long, I couldn't think of anything else to be. Even though I were to sign a paper changing my name to Jones, by my father's blood, I would still be his son. I'd still be a Phillips. Y'all with me? Come on, somebody. And so God shut him in, and he was there. He couldn't get out if he wanted to. Not that he would want to, because of what's on the outside. Now, what's on the outside of Jesus? Well, doom. Separation, eternal separation, hell, death. That's what's on the outside of Jesus. That's what a person is experiencing who's not in Christ. That's what a person has to look forward to. What he wakes up to every single morning is the fact that that may be his last opportunity. That day could be the day that he's killed in an automobile accident. God forbid, but have a heart attack. Listen, people die of all ages. People die of all death. It's not an old man's sentence. Death comes to all. And to be free from death, a person must be in Christ. See, Noah obeyed the warnings. Noah followed God's design. He followed God's word. And so when it came time, you know, that thought right there, and it came to pass after 7 days, verse 4, yet 7 days I will cause it to rain. He's telling Noah this. He said, you got 7 days. And so the animals started coming. And now he didn't tell Noah that he had 7 days to get in the ark. That's not what he was talking about. He said, 7 days it's going to rain. So in my opinion, this is what I think that Noah did. As the animals were coming in and Noah was standing out there, and he was supervising this act of God. He was standing there in his family. He was telling those people that was down the ramp there on the ground. He was telling them, you see, God's true to his word. He's sending these animals. We didn't go get them. They're coming. And Noah preached his heart out. I believe he preached his heart out. He told a story that nobody had ever heard before. He told an unbelievable story about an unbelievable act that brought on unbelievable results. That's the way it is with Jesus. And so the Lord shut him in, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. Now, right in there, I told you that God said no. Now, what do you think the people are saying? When the last animal goes in and they can hear the muffled sounds of the animals inside. And all of a sudden, this big, huge door. God says, Noah, come on in. Get your family. Now, when God says this, I want you to understand something. Now, when God says this to Noah, this is a, let me see how to put this. It is a command, but it's more of an invitation than a command. Because Noah could have refused. Noah could have refused, but he didn't. And so God says, come on in, Noah. And so Noah reaches and he takes a hold of his wife's hand and he leads her in. And listen, his sons and their wives follow right after him. And as soon as they go in, this big, humongous door. I wish you could have seen that ark up there in Kentucky. You could see this door. It was huge. And all of a sudden, this door starts to move, and it starts to creak, and it starts to move. And then all of a sudden, it shuts. It shuts with a solid authority. There's no handles on the outside. There's nothing to grab a hold of. The seal is sure. And there's no cracks to get your fingers in. Now, what do you think those people, what do you think they were doing then? They were standing, I'm sure they were gathered around because the animals started to move and the word got out and people started gathering around and getting close and coming up to the side of the ark. And here's mothers with their babies. Now, all of a sudden, after the door is shut, the ground starts to shake and starts to quiver and starts to move and starts to rumble. And then all of a sudden, they can see water bubbling up out of the ground. They can see water bubbling up out of the ground. Look at what it says over here. It says, the fountains of the earth, the great deep broke up, and the windows of heaven, the ground moved first. So these people that were standing out there, they began to shake and began to quiver. Do you think that they began to beat on the side of the ark, slap on the side of the ark? All right, Noah, we believe now. Come on, Noah, you can open that door. You know, that's not how that's going to work. When the opportunity is over, it's over. When God stays his hand, when he draws back the invitation, then there's nothing that we can do to change that. And so here are all these people. It must have been sad. I wonder if Noah could have heard. Noah had friends out there. He might have had family out there. Well, I'm sure he did have family out there. He had people out there that he had known for years. And I wonder if he could have heard them. I wonder if he felt the ground as it began to shake and began to quiver. Then all of a sudden, big raindrops started to fall from the sky. People were looking up and the rain was pelting them in the face and hitting them in the face. And what a sight that must have been. And the wails and the screams and the pleading and the begging. Somebody said, man, God is ruthless. No, God's not ruthless. I'm going to tell you something. God is sovereign. God is sovereign, and he gives man every, God goes out of his way to give you and me invitation. You know, he gives us invitation every single day to draw closer to him. He gives us opportunity to choose him instead of this, to choose him today instead of doing this, to choose him today in his word. And we don't always, I don't always, come on somebody, I don't always make that decision. But this decision right here had to be made, and it was a sure decision. God shut him in. Now then, I want you to notice something right here. I'm watching my time. Look at verse 18. It said, the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went up upon the face of the waters. Now, the word prevail is 1, 2, 3, 4 times in verses 18 through 24. And it's used in the Hebrew, it's used to make a statement that the flood came. And as you study and as you'll look, you'll find out that the waters were so high above the highest mountain. So this tells us that it was a worldwide flood. It wasn't a local flood. And some people would have you to believe. You know, people can find fault with God's word. It's not hard to find fault with God's word because you have to accept it by faith. That's what faith is. You have to believe it. You just have to believe it. I can't explain everything in here. I can't explain how a bush caught on fire and a voice came out of it, and it wasn't consumed. I know that over in that area there is a thing that's called, it's got a name, I can't think of the name of it, but it's spontaneous combustion. I mean, in a certain time, in a certain atmospheric conditions, that a bush can catch on fire, but it will burn up. But this bush didn't. I can't explain that to you. I can't explain that. I can't explain how certain things, how he turned the water into wine. And really, I don't want to explain it. I just believe it. I can't explain how this man and his sons completed this massive ship, other than God giving them the ability to do it. But it you think about the task. Now, see, the task that God gives you is equally as important and is equally as complex. Because God don't ever call you to do something easy. If it was easy, it wouldn't require faith to believe it. He always requires you to do something you can't do so he can lead, so he can show you and lead you and equip you to do it. Remember that now. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the earth. And the waters prevailed, there is again exceedingly upon the earth. Moses wants you to understand that the waters prevailed. I see what you're saying, Moses. Come on. The waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. What he's telling me is that this was a worldwide flood. He's making it clear. The Holy Spirit, through Moses, making this clear. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. 15 cubits above, I think that's something like 25, a little over 25 feet, something like that, above the highest mountain. So there was nothing but water. And he's making a point. He's making a point because the prevailing of the waters, how high the waters went up. And here's the point he's making. All flesh died that moved upon the earth. Don't matter. Now watch this. Both a fowl. Now, the birds could only fly so long they had the light somewhere, so they'd fall into the water. And cattle and beasts of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And look what he says right here. Look at these last three words. And every man. And every man. That's a sad, sad, that's a sad, that's a sad thing right there. Every man. Every man, woman, boy, and girl. Why did they die, Brother Miles? Because they chose not to come into the ark. They were judged. If they'd have come into the ark, they would have come in into God's safety. And who all in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. It was everybody. There was, listen to this now. There was only eight people alive: Noah, Miss Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their three wives. That's 3, 6, 7, 8. That's eight people. And out of those eight people. Now, listen, there was, believe God's word for just what it says. It tells us clearly that those were the only people on the ark. There was no stowaways. There was no stowaways or anything like that. If you've seen these, I saw this one movie about the ark, and it showed a man getting on the ark and hiding. That's not true. That's not biblical. And, you know, movies today are far from being biblical. They might be fun to watch or entertaining to watch, but stay with God's word for the truth, the whole truth. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man, cattle, creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Let me give you some statistics right here, right quick. We're going to pick up chapter 8 next week. Let me give you this right here. I got to turn to it. This is some statistics about the ark. It says, in the 600th year of Noah, this is the chronology of the flood. In the 600th year of Noah, Noah entered the ark. He was 600 years old. In the second month, the 10th day, Noah entered the ark. In the second month, the 17th day, the flood began. The waters from the flood of the earth, 150 days, 5 months of the 30 days each, including the 40 days and 40 nights that it rained. Boy, my time's getting away, y'all. It goes fast. 40 days later, of the 600 year 11th month, listen, I'm going to have to stop right here. I will see you. No, I got just a few more seconds. Hold on, everybody. In the 600th year of Noah, 7th month, 17th day, the waters began to recede. The waters later receded to the point, that point, 600th year, 7th month, 17th day, the ark rested on Ararat. Rested on Mount Ararat. Now my time is getting away. From beginning to end, the flood lasted 1 year and 10 days. I'll see y'all next week, okay? All right. God bless you.